to allow the Holy Spirit to move. It is our purpose and our role to come together and to build a church. My job is to edify you, to build you up. But if there's one thing I need to do is listen to the Holy Spirit. So sometimes we've got to be patient. When the Lord does what He's doing, we need to be patient. So thank you. And I want to thank whoever it was that was leading that song. I thank you that you didn't let it die out. Thank you. We need that. We need that. It's time we put up our hand and says, I might be nobody. And I'm not saying that you're nobody, whoever it was, okay? But God can use me. Amen. Do you mind if I just take off my jersey? I was under that and it's biki varro. Right. Church, I want to first of all thank each and every one of you that has been praying for our family and sending me messages. I've had some phone calls. We've believed together for Karen's healing, and now she's ultimately healed. I would have liked to have my sister back. Now all my siblings are gone. So it's just me. So that kind of gives you a sense of your own mortality. It's tough, okay? But I'm no different to any of you. We've all lost loved ones. Amen. But I do thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your encouragement. It's good to be part of a body where people care. Amen. And if there's one thing I can encourage you with this morning, do so with your whole heart. Encourage your brothers and sisters. They need it. I can tell you, I might be the pastor, but I need it. I'm not stronger than thou. I'm human like thou. Does that make sense? This morning I'm speaking on belongingness. At a time like this, we belongingness. We need to belong. We need to be part of something that helps us, something that encourages us, something that builds us up. Does that make sense, church? Amen. Before I go any further, I want to also just detract a little bit. Gail asked me if she could share something, but Gail, because I've run a bit late, let's see how this ends up. Is that okay? Okay, do you want to come quickly before I start to preach? But you must nip it short. The pastor is one that's allowed to preach long, okay? And I've got about a 3.5-hour sermon this morning. So, okay, the microphone's there, Gail. But, yeah, just be aware that we're already running late. Thanks.
Okay, God's been ministering to me this week. And in John 16, 33, Jesus said to his disciples, I've told you these things that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, and undaunted. This is from the Amplified Bible. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I've conquered it for you. And I thought, in the world, if you look at the world around us, they're hopeless, they're helpless, they're faithless. And if you look at all those words, just go and write some down. What's at the end? Less. The world robs us. Jesus wants to give us hope and life in abundance. He wants to give us more. And then in John 17, verse 15, Jesus is praying and he says to his Father, I do not ask you that you will take them out of the world, but that you will keep them and protect them from the evil one. So we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And Jesus has promised that through all the trials and tribulations, the heartache, the pain, he will keep us and protect us from the evil one. Thank you, Jesus.
To me giving her such a hard time, she was quick. Thank you, Gail. For those of you that want to be at the funeral, some of you would have known Karen. It's Wednesday at 10 o'clock here in the church. So for those of you, if you would like to come. Just one testimony for those who don't. You know, I came back from the coast early because she deteriorated, and I've seen her every day And as things got worse, around about Monday or Tuesday, she wasn't really communicating properly. She was not actually even able to form words. But we would sing. And as we sang, she joined us in. I walked in the one day and she was just mumbling, but she was singing. And I know, because she had a relationship with Jesus, that she was with the Lord. So even in the midst of that, it was frustrating, it was horrible, it was traumatic. Traumatic to see a loved one going through something like that. And for her, it was traumatic. She didn't like being there. She was sore. She had the mask and she kept on trying to move it and plugging the things off. You know, we've seen our loved ones go, and I think many of us have experienced that. But when you've got the Lord in the midst of that chaos, there's a peace and a settledness. And I want to encourage you in that, church. Hang on to your relationship with Jesus. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. This world can't offer anything like that. Right, so now I've got a... the light's not so good there. I've got a sermon on belongingness, a message on belongingness. How could I preach today? Purely because I prepared this on Friday before this happened. And I felt it was a word that I needed to deliver this morning. So the Lord will give me grace. Who's ever heard that word belongingness? Did you even know it was a word? I didn't. I'd never heard it before. But as I went to search and start doing research about belonging, I found this word. And if you go into Wikipedia, Wikipedia describes it as this. Belongingness is the human emotional need to be an accepted member of a group, whether it is a family, friends, co-workers, a religion, or something else. People tend to have an inherent desire, inbuilt desire, to belong, to be an important part of something greater than themselves. Who can identify with that? Okay, we all have a built-in thing in us to belong. There was a study done in 1995 by two people called, their surnames were Baumeister and Leary. And they said this, the lack of belongingness causes various undesirable effects. In other words, the lack of belonging causes undesirable effects, including a decrease in levels of health, happiness, and adjustment. They further assert that people who lack belongingness suffer high levels of mental and physical illness and are more prone to a broad range of behavioral problems, ranging from traffic accidents to criminality and suicide. Who can identify with that? The fact that we don't belong can drive our behavior. It drives good behavior and it drives bad behavior. You see it with peer pressure, with young people, but you also see it in adults. They will do whatever it is to become part of the crowd, to feel like they fit in. That is belongingness in action. So it can drive one kind of behavior and it can drive another kind of behavior. This inherent desire to belong was put in us by God. Even in the Garden of Eden, he said this of Adam in Genesis 2 verse 8. It says, then the Lord said, it is not good that man shall be alone. It's not good that a person shall be alone. The first man was not meant to be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. And do you know that God makes nothing that is not good? God doesn't make failure. But he saw that which he created. And he realized that which he created, he put in it a desire not to be alone. Who likes being alone here, church? Some of us like to be alone sometimes. But to be alone all the time, it'll drive you sketty. Think about people in prison. When they misbehave, they put them in solitary confinement. Solitary confinement can drive you nuts. Literally, it'll drive you crazy. It's not good that man should be alone. God didn't make us to be alone. And if you're a loner, you need to think about that. The reason why you're depressed is because you are not with people. You need to be with people. But God wants more for us. There's something we need to realize, that even because people are people, and people will reject you, and people will judge you, and people will make you feel out, or accept it, okay? But God put a plan in place even for that. Because if we go to Song of Songs, we read in chapter 2, verse 16, my beloved is mine, and I am his. And that's a picture of Christ in us. My beloved is mine, and I am his. If you belong to nothing else, and let me tell you this morning, you belong to the human race. Amen? You're not an ape. You don't belong to that. You belong to the human race. But if you can't find your place of belonging amongst people, just know that your beloved is yours and you are his. You belong to God. The problem is we run away from God. We're born running away from God. It's time to run to God. So we'll have a look at this. We'll have a look at what it means to belong. God wants us to belong to a family. God said it's not good that man, Adam, should be alone. I heard T.D. Jakes preaching about it. Oh, we're going to do a marriage seminar, church. While I was away, I did some research and I got some good material. And T.D. Jakes was preaching on marriage, on the husband-wife relationship. A beautiful message. But one of the things he said is this word alone. If you break it up, you get two words from it. All one. All one. Alone. Can you see it? All one. It's not good for us to be all one. In Genesis, it goes on to say, the two shall be one flesh. So even when we're two, it's not good that we're all one. We're separate. God wants us to come back together and be one flesh. That's why I gave husband and wife. Doesn't mean that everybody must go and become one flesh, okay? That's for husbands and wives. Genesis 2 verse 24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife and they shall become one flesh. In Ephesians 5, Paul compares the marriage relationship in husband and wife to that between Christ and the church. But he's actually painting a picture that's a great mystery. It's a picture of Christ and the church. God doesn't want you to be alone. He wants you to be part of his church. You belong with him. It's something created right from the beginning of time. Through marriage, God instituted family. And family perpetuates. A man leaves his parents and is joined to his wife and they have children. And their children have children. And what used to be one becomes many. Family is so important. It's a place where we are first loved and first accepted. It's the first place in the human race where we can get that sense of belongingness. And when we get it wrong in families, and families don't love their children, and children are rejected, we deal with them here, in the front here. We deal with them in the counseling rooms, because it causes damage that impacts and affects your whole life. And sadly, there are far too many, even sitting here today, there are people that have been damaged by being rejected in their homes, by their mothers and their fathers. It's not God's plan for our lives. Family needs to be a place of love and accepted. My children will tell you, I can tell them, I've said it to them, no matter what you do, I might not like what you do, but it won't stop me from loving and accepting you. You will always be my child. Have I told you? Amen. And we've been through some stuff. And I can tell you, my children are my children. Don't mess with them. Family is the foundation where God works. He displayed this in his covenant with Abraham. In Genesis 14 verse 47 it says this. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of you. Kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you. First and foremost, God said, I will give you a sense of belongingness to me. But don't worry, I will make you nations. Kings shall come from you. You will be part of something bigger. You are part, church. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm part of something bigger. You belong to something bigger. You belong here, church. You're part of God's family. And we are your family manifest right here this morning. When you stay away from church, you're staying away from your sense of belongingness. There's nothing, and I'm going away from my notes, like the corporate church When the church comes together, there's an anointing that comes, there's a love that comes, there's an acceptance that comes. And when people say, yeah, well, I'm not going because those people judge, okay, so who in your family doesn't judge? When did you, who can say they never experienced judgment in their family? We're a family church. People will hurt you. People will say stupid things because we are people. I will say something that will offend you. Come back. Because this is where you will find your sense of belongingness. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to make excuses, but we're human beings. The problem with the church is we try and be holier than thou when we are not. And the sooner we realize that, the sooner we'll say, but I need help. Because it's only in God that we are made perfect. Can I hear an amen? Does that make sense? Families and nations and kings, they all come from that sense of belongingness. Came from when God put Adam and Eve together. Israel belonged to God's family. In Exodus 19 verse 46, and for those of you that I'm preaching too fast for, you can go and download this off of our website. Where do you get our website? In Google. You Google Christian Heritage Church, Krugersdorp, and go and look for sermons and you'll find it there. You'll find the recording and you'll find my notes. Sometimes it takes a week or so to get there, but it'll get there. Exodus 19, verse 46. You've seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Remember his promise to Abraham. You will be kings. Kings will come from your midst. You will be great nations. Now God is talking to the Israelites as he's about to bring them, or as he's just brought them out of Egypt. He says, you saw what I did. I carried you on eagle's wings. You might have walked out, but I carried you. And where did I bring you to? I didn't send you out into the wilderness to go and die there so that I could prove how good I am, that I fed you. I brought you to me because God also wants a sense of belongingness. He wants us to belong to Him. Turn to the person next to you and say, I belong to Him. Are you starting to get this, church? Your sense of belongingness, it works on two planes. It works on this plane. In other words, if you look left and right, you'll see where it's working. But it also works on this plane. A sense of belongingness needs to be in both places, otherwise we're unbalanced. Can I hear an amen? Amen. God separated the Israelites out of Egypt to bring them to Him. What does Egypt represent to you and I? Darkness, sin, the world, the world's ways. But they had to do two things. Obey His voice, keep His covenant. How do we obey the Lord's voice, church? When He calls, we say, here I am, Lord. I'm yours. We can't earn His favor. We have favor by grace because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. How do I obey the Lord's voice? I listen when He says, come to me, my child. And I come. And how do we come under the place of covenant? In the Old Testament, there was the law. But it started with the Ten Commandments. In the New Testament, those Ten Commandments still exist. But they are summarized into one sentence. Love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else is tied up in that. Love the Lord your God. If you love the Lord your God, you love your neighbor. Amen. But I'm jumping ahead of myself. When a nation belongs to God, He says, you will be a special treasure to me above all else. Say this, I'm a special treasure. You will be to me a kingdom of priests. Kingdom of priests, say that. Say it, kingdom of priests. Holy nation. That's what He said to Israel. When we belong to God, we become His people. We become priests. What does a priest do? A priest does what I'm doing right now. He talks to people about God. He tells the story about God. He encourages people to come to God. If we are a kingdom of priests, then we need to fulfill that role. If you're not fulfilling that role, you're not being a priest. And dare I say, you're not aligned with the standards of God's kingdom. Says they're a holy people. What does holy mean? Separated to God. Separated to God. Living according to God's standards. You know what else it says? You will be a special treasure to me. God loves us. Christians belong to that same family. In 1 Peter 2 verse 9 to 10, this is no longer God speaking to the Israelites. It's God speaking to you and I. It says this. But you are a chosen generation. Say that, I'm chosen. A royal priesthood. Do you know what that means? You're not just priests, you're royal priests. That means you're royalty. Why? Because you're a child of the King of Kings. You are princes and princesses here. Because that is what the child of a king is. Prince or a princess. I'm royalty. But I'm also a priest. Let me show you. His own special people, his own special treasure, that you may proclaim, here comes the priesthood, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his light. How am I able to be a priest in God's family? When I tell, when I proclaim, when I praise God, just like Mike did this morning. And I tell people what God did for me. He brought me out of darkness. He put me into his kingdom of light. Amen. You think it's tough, church. It's not. Just tell them. Tell them. Tell them what he did for you. These people got prayed for and got touched this morning. Go and tell somebody. That means you being a royal priest. The minute you open your mouth, say, God did. Royal priest. And we've all been called to be there. Does that make sense? I want to commend you, church. You know, we trust in this church is growing. You might see empty chairs here, okay? But before you were here, there were more empty chairs. Okay, there was a time when they were full. But that time is coming again. But I want to commend you, church. As people fill in, and thank you for those of you that are visiting today and filled in those forms. But you know what I've seen as a new trend? We ask, why did you come? And there'll be things new in this area. A friend brought me, da-da-da-da-da. I'm starting to see somebody asked me. Somebody invited me. Church, that tells me you're doing your job. You should be inviting people to come to church with you. That's you being a royal priest. And I want to encourage you in that. And church, that is the role. It's not just my role to invite people to church. I don't come across the people that you come across. Amen? Invite your friends. Invite your neighbor. Invite the person you see on the streets. Say, ah, pray for them. If they're sick, say, I can tell you about somebody who can heal you. Not Pastor Keith. Jesus, let me pray for you right here and right now. And next week they'll be in church with you. Because God would have touched them. Does that make sense? So being part of family, what do you do when you're family? You invite the family around for lunch. And we're having lunch today, church. While I'm at it, I don't know if there's anybody here who didn't sign up because they didn't have money or whatever. But we've provided for 90, and I don't think I can see 90 people here this morning. I think we're about 70 here this morning. So there's more than enough food. So I want to ask each and every one of you to come and eat with us, unless you've got another arrangement. Okay. If you've signed up and you haven't paid, please do pay. But if you didn't pay because you didn't sign up because you didn't feel you had the money to do it, great. Come and have lunch with us. And we won't ask you for any money. Because that's who this church is. And you are part of the family. And when my family comes, he's now around again, I say, oh, you're going to buy us takeaways, okay? But when my family comes, I feed them for free. I don't ask them for anything. Okay. Church, we've got to pay for the stuff. So the family needs to, Dad needs to take some money out and buy the food. Are you with me? Okay, so yes, we do need you to pay when you can. All right? But for those who can't, just come. You're part of the family. I want you to feel welcome here. I want you to feel loved. I want you to feel that this is where I can belong. And there's no strings attached. Are you with me? And we've got to have that attitude about everything. Whether it's sending the pastor a message to say, we're praying for you because we know you're in a difficult time. Or whether it's seeing your brother cold and saying, I've got an extra jacket. Or whether it's saying, I know we're having a lunch, I'll sponsor. You know, I don't ask for sponsors anymore. It just happens. I praise the Lord that you're catching the vision. Amen. The sense of belongingness. Church. It's God's plan for you and me. But there's another sense of belongingness. And that's a sense of belongingness between us and Him. And I want to focus on that this morning. So He's brought us out of darkness. He separated us and brought us to Him in Jesus Christ. We are now His people. Romans 8:15 tells us if we are led by the Spirit of God, we are sons of God. It carries on to say in verse 16, for you didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Dad, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Say that. Say it loud. I'm a child of God. 1, 2, 3. I'm a child of God. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. We've been separated. And as God's priest, we proclaim His praises. The praises of the one who brought us out of darkness and put us into light. We're separated and we're different. The problem today is you can't distinguish when you see the church in the shop mall or at the social gathering or in an argument with somebody else. You can't tell the difference between the church and the world. I only heard one kind of amen. Amen? And that's the challenge today, church. We belong. We belong to the church. We belong to God's kingdom. We belong to families. But are we showing forth and living out the characteristics of the royal priesthood and the holy nation that God has called us to be? Do you realize that you're God's special treasure? That when people look at you, they see you as part of the church and they judge God based on the way you behave? Do you realize that you can live as a child of royalty because you're a son of the king? Do you realize that you've got a role to play as a king and a priest? Every family has some basic rules. Amen? I don't know if I've said it to my children, but I'm sure most of you have said it to your children if you've grown up, or you've had your parents say it to you, or you've heard somebody say it. You can do whatever you like out there, but when you're under this roof, you will live according to my rules, not your rules. Amen. It's the same in God's kingdom. Did you know that? You will not live according to your own set of rules. You live according to God's word. Because otherwise, you're not part of the family. Because the family obeys the family rule. Are you with me? So if I belong, if I've got a sense of belongingness in God's family, I need to abide by the rules of God's family. Now, that doesn't mean I want to bring you under law. Okay? The Israelites tried that. They tried to obey the laws. And if you go and read in the New Testament, Paul writes, he said, if they'd only done that by faith, because that's the only way. It's the only way. But we are under grace. We've got a set of laws, rules, and regulations. We live under the law of the Spirit, law of liberty, the law of grace. But there are still certain basic rules that we need to obey. Love your brother. Don't go and commit adultery. Okay? The Ten Commandments didn't go away. But now, number one is I'm forgiven for breaking those commandments, for transgressing them because of Jesus. The price for my sin has been paid on the cross. He paid the price for every sin that will ever be committed. Even the ones you're going to commit today. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. But it's the truth, church. We should try not to sin. But we can succeed in not sinning when we rely on the Lord. When we rely on His grace to help us not to sin. Amen. Now don't go say, you know, the famous saying is the devil made me do it. Now when you sin now, you say, but the Lord made me do it. Because when I asked Him to help me and I was about to sin, He didn't stop me. Of course He's not going to stop you. Because you have a will. And He's not going to direct your will. But we need to behave according to the rules of the house. Philippians 3 verse 20 states, it starts with this, for our citizenship is in heaven. The citizens obey the laws of the land. 1 Peter 2 verse 11, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very soul. Do you know, and men, I'm a man, okay? I know what it's like to be tempted and to experience lust. And I think some ladies experience it too. Okay? What does it say here? Keep away from the worldly desires that wage war against your very soul. Amen. We need to keep away from those things. We need to say, Lord, help me. And He will. He'll give you grace. Every day we need to pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation. When I'm tempted, when lust wants to raise its ugly thing in me, I need to say, Lord, help me. Amen. Jensen Franklin preached about the visitor. It's what you do with the visitor. Don't allow the visitor to come and take residence. Lead you astray. We're temporary residents. We're different. We do belong, but not to this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. We need to live as citizens of heaven. Because that's where we belong, church. Don't live like you belong in this world. The enemy is at war against your soul. He wants you to be part of this world. He wants you to belong to the flesh. To the ways of the world. Peter goes on to encourage the Christians not to live that way. He says in 1 Peter 2 verse 12, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when He judges the world. Live blamelessly. Live blamelessly. You're a priest. When they see your good behavior, they may accuse you and say all sorts of nonsense behind your back. But they'll see the way you live. And they'll bring honor to God. That's you being a priest. Amen? You realize when we conform to the ways of the world, we are not behaving as citizens of heaven. What happens if the Lord calls you home? What happens if the trumpet sounds? And you're doing what the world does? We're not to live that way. We belong to a higher standard of holiness. Even though we're not under the law, there's a standard to which we need to keep ourselves. And we can only do it by grace, with the help of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1 verse 13 to 16. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. I'm part of a family. I've got a belongingness to God's family, but I need to live as a child of that family. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now, because we do know better, you must be holy in everything you do. Just as God who chose you is holy, for the scriptures say you must be holy because I am holy. So we're called to live as God's children, church. And it says, don't slip into the old ways of living. You know what? Every now and again, we need to catch ourselves. I know it's you guys are perfect, but me, I slip back into the old ways. I make myself fun. I've got to catch myself and stop it. If I tried to tell you anything different, my wife would stand up and say, he's lying. Because she knows me. I'm not perfect. And it's no excuse. But neither are you. Stop slipping back into the old way of living. Live like you belong to God's family. Amen. There's great benefits to belonging. We're his treasured possession. But there's great responsibility with belonging. Are you with me, church? Are you getting what I'm trying to say this morning? We belong. We belong. There's grace. It's amazing. We've got a fantastic, amazing Father in heaven who loves us so much that he gave us Jesus, his Son. Who loves us so much that he says, I loved you this much. He said, I give you grace. You can't pay for your sins. But my grace says, just trust me and you will be free. But we need to trust that grace and we need to live as children of the kingdom. Amen. Kings and priests and royal. We need to be holy. Our Father is holy. The Holy Spirit is holy. And Jesus, his Son, is holy. Is it possible that our hearts have become hardened to sin? That we've been going back and dipping back into the old life? Ek soek 'n bietjie van daai and I'll have a bit of this. And yeesh, today, ach Lord. Sorry, Lord. Time to live the way we're called to live. And there's only one way to succeed. In Exodus, and I'm closing with this. Exodus 19 verse 4. You've seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings. I shared the scripture earlier. And I brought you to myself. You see, God said, I did it. I brought you to myself. I brought you on my eagle's wings. In Isaiah, we read about those same eagle's wings. Tani Lulu. It's her favorite scripture. Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. I brought you to myself. But those who wait on the Lord. We can't do it in our own strength, church. If you think you're going to do it in your own strength, you're setting yourself up for failure. Stop trying and start trusting. That's one of my sayings. Stop trying and start trusting. If I take that scripture a little bit further, it says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. What does that say? The youths are people that have got lots of energy. They're strong. Young men. I needed help. Yesterday, Gareth needed to move, and I hurt my back. I said, sorry, I can't do the trailer. So the ladies had to connect the trailer, and they struggled. But if they had had a young man there, and they did call some help, there's Lee. They called the security company, and the one guy knew exactly what to do, and it was on. I mean, as simple as can be. We rely on young men when we need lots of strength. But even young men get tired. Even they get weak. We rely on our own strength. Doesn't matter how strong you think you are, church, and how well you think you can resist the devil. Sooner or later, you're going to get tired. And you're going to fall. You're going to fall. The only way you can do it, those who wait on the Lord. That's grace. Grace says, I sin, I can't pay for my sin. I sin, Romans 7, I can't help myself when I sin. God says, I've got grace. I don't want you to sin. I'll help you not to sin. I'll give you my Holy Spirit. When you get it wrong, I'll give you my grace. I won't remember your sin. Just confess and repent. Whew, gone. There's grace. Church, if I can tell you anything this morning, Jesus loves you. Your Father in heaven loves you. He's given you grace, but he's called you to live like you belong to his family. Amen. Our ultimate belongingness is being part of this family. Philippians 3 verse 12, and I've taken out of the English Standard Version. Don't go and buy yourself one now. I'm reading one because I've read through all my other commentary Bibles. But sometimes it says things in a beautiful way. Paul says, not that I've already obtained this. He said, what did he say? He said, I give up everything. I count everything as rubbish that I may know him. And he says, not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. But listen to these words. Because Jesus has made me his own. I press on to make it my own because Jesus has made me his own. He's made me belong. If I go and read it in the Message Bible, it's verse 12 to 14, it says this. I'm not saying that I have this all together. Church, I can't say that I've got it all together, I must tell you. That I've it made. Some might actually say, yeah, well, you're not encouraging the people, you're not setting a good example. If I try to pretend I was perfect, church, I'd just be deceiving you and myself, and I'd be a liar. But I'm well on my way. I can say that about myself too. Reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not going to turn back. That's what I want to encourage you to do today, church. Don't give up. Keep on running. Keep on running. We've got a great salvation. We've got a great hope. My sister's there now. We've got a great hope. We've got a great future. We've got a God who loves us. We can't have watered down Christianity and compromise and all this rubbish. We've got a responsibility. We've got a call to live holy as those that belong to God's kingdom. We've got brothers and sisters that God has given us to belong to. Yeah, yeah, you are. Don't stay away from church willy-nilly. It gets kind of frustrating when I can see the pattern building, because every Monday morning I go through the list and say, okay, that one is, now they're starting to miss every third week. They used to miss once a month. And sooner or later, it's every second week, and then gone. Come, be with the family. This is where you'll grow. Has this message helped you this morning? I don't know why I was able to stand here this morning. But I said when I was offered help by Dave and Shirley, I said, well, maybe it'll be a good distraction for me, and it is. But there's a reason I need to preach this message, because you need to know that you belong. There's people here this morning with a sense of real rejection. And I'm not going to rush it. I know we've taken a bit of time, but I want us to minister. These two things, just stand with me. Kirsty, if I can ask if you wouldn't mind to just go. There's a couple of things we need to deal with this morning. The one is, maybe you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You've never become part of the great kingdom that I spoke about this morning, where you are part of God's treasured possession, and we are, where you are a royal priest, a holy nation, somebody separate, peculiar, and different. If that's you this morning and you want to become part of that kingdom, just put up your hand. Just everybody else close your eyes and put up your hand high so I can see. I'm standing down here. I can't even see. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else who wants to become part of God's kingdom? Okay. I'm going to pray. You can take. Yes, I see that hand. Come forward, you two. Just come forward. Just come. While they're coming forward, maybe you know, and this message has challenged you this morning, because you have been living, but you've been living like you belong to the world and not to God's kingdom. You've been living in compromise. There's no shame in that, church. As long as you say, you come to the point in your life where you say, today is the day when that changes, and I'm going to bring myself back into the way this family lives. Family that belongs to God. If that's you, I'm not going to call you forward. Just put up your hand. If you want to say, Lord, I haven't been living right. I haven't been living according to your standards. I've been disobeying the family rules. And maybe there's you here today that you've been battling and struggling with sin, and you don't know what to do about it because you just can't anymore. I want to tell you this morning, there's grace for you in Jesus Christ. He will help you. He will give you His Holy Spirit, and He will strengthen you and give you the ability to say no. If that's you today, put up your hand. I see those hands. You can keep them up. And finally, and I want these people to come forward. There's people here that are struggling with loneliness. They feel rejected. They feel like they're not part of any family. They might be a family member, but they don't feel like it. and you're struggling with it and it's tearing you to bits, just come and stand here. Come and stand on this side. Come. Just come. I know there's more than one person. And while we are praying, and I'm going to ask our leaders to come forward because I'm not going to pray for them one by one. We're going to take each one. Come here, come. If you've just stood up now and come forward, just stand on this side. Because these are the people that have given their heart to the Lord this morning. So if you feel a sense of rejection and you're battling with it and you're depressed, stand here. And if anybody else wants to come, you come. All right, let's pray. Close our eyes. I'm going to pray for you first. Say this after me. Lord Jesus, I love you. And I need to belong to your family. This morning, I ask you to make me part of your family. I pray that I may receive the grace that you put in place on the cross. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I take hold of my adoption as a son in your kingdom. And I declare that I align myself with the house rules of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask Frank. Is Frank here? Can I ask you to take these three men and just take them in the back room here and explain to them what they've done this morning? And I want to encourage you, men. Thank you. Live for Jesus. You too, Zola. I know you're giving your heart. There comes a time when it's done. Bless you. I'm from a family that loves Jesus. Your whole life can be Jesus. Go with Pastor Frank. I want to pray for the people that put up their hands. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have grace for me. And even though I have not been living in a way that reflects the characteristics of the children of your house, I repent of it. I pray, forgive me. And I receive that forgiveness this morning. I pray for grace to help me to live the way you've called me to live. To have victory when I feel like I'll never get it. Today that changes. Because I will wait on you. And I will let you carry me. And I will be victorious. I am free. In Jesus' name. Amen.